And welcome back to another episode of Cinema Vino.
Did you say Cinema Vino?
Yeah.
Oh.
We're back.
Yes.
Yeah.
And better than ever.
It's that podcast. It's Bravis Tug.
We're back.
And Taylor Owens.
Yep.
Hey. Oh, hey. I didn't get to say hey on mine.
Okay. It's Travis Budd.
Hey.
Taylor Owens.
That's me.
And Sean Jordan.
We're back.
We're back. Better than ever.
Better than ever. Better than ever.
We're back to our wedding series. This is our next episode. Yay. Up. We're going to talk about four weddings and a funeral. This will be episode 4. And we're going to talk about that. And we're drinking a little bubbly for this one. Again, people think of weddings. They think of bubbly. This is a nice, affordable French bubbly. It's a Cremant Gerard Bertrand. It's a Brut Rosé. It's a pink bubbly. So it is under $20, so it's an affordable one. But
it's not from the Champagne region.
No, it's French, but it's not Champagne. So this will be something you could toast with. It won't be crazy expensive. I know sometimes the bride and groom like to spend a little more than the Tots, Andre, cheap stuff. This would be a good medium priced.
What's the name of this again?
This is Gerard Bertrand.
Jean-Luc Bertrand, Jean-Luc Australia.
So this will be around $15-$20.
This is dry.
Yes, it is a dry. Yeah, Cremant's going to be on the drier side of bubbly.
But it's like a fun dry.
Yeah.
Fun dry. I couldn't hold it.
So, yeah, I mean, I know, like, my wife and I toasted with Veuve Clicquot, but that was a gift. Somebody gave us that as a gift. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't have splurged so much.
Yeah, Veuve bottle's good for toasting. I mean, a Veuve is like 48. Per bottle?
It's gone up a little bit. Actually, I priced it at about 60 this last weekend.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's different kinds of Veuve, right? Mm-hmm. They have different, like, grades.
You've got your yellow label, which is kind of your entry. Everybody knows it.
Yep. Yeah.
You got your white label, which is your demi-sec, and you'll usually pay a little bit more for that one.
Because we've got a couple bottles of the yellow label. Mm-hmm.
Explain demi-sec. Go.
So I would describe demi-sec as semi-sweet.
Yep.
Kind of in between. It's not going to be sticky like a Moscato, but it's not going to be dry like a Brut. So.
I like some sticky.
And then above that, you got your triple sec. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, above that, you're in candy land. Above Moscato. I don't think you could make something sweeter than Moscato.
Well, I mean, I just mean like you got your demi sec and then you got your triple sec.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, it's like demi sec or sec. I think sec is sec, above demi sec. Yeah.
It's like the cooler way of saying second.
Mm-hmm.
Sec.
Brut Rosé, this is going to be on the drier side for sure. I'd say a scale of 1 to 10, I'd put this at about 3. Maybe 2.5 or 3. This is definitely on the drier end.
Being the driest?
1 being bone dry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 10 being super sweet. This is okay. Probably about a 3.
Yeah, I'd put it at 2.5.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty dry.
2.5?
The only thing that's going to be drier than this is going to be called extra brut or natural. That's going to be the next level up. That's going to be like really, really dry. So it's like, believe it or not, it gets drier from here. So.
And like, I really enjoy the color because it's like the color of a good, like, diet 7-Up.
Yeah.
Cherry 7-Up.
This is kind
it
of.
It is the color of a cherry 7-Up.
It's kind of iPad pink, you know? It's kind of.
iPad pink?
Yeah, it's kind of real.
The rose gold.
Rose gold, yeah.
Jeez. Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Cool. Some of us have money.
It does have kind of like that
clearly
orange-ish.
I don't have a rose gold iPad.
But so yeah, we're going to talk about four weddings and a funeral a little bit. I've got my sheet here, give you guys a little background info, and then we're going to share our opinions. So this movie was released May 14th, 1994, just a shade over 27 or 28 years ago.
Oof.
28 years ago.
You don't have to say it like that.
Yeah. This was made on a $3 million budget. This was a shoestring production. This, even for that time, was a very cheap movie.
A great cast for a cheap movie. Mm-hmm.
Who were mostly unknown at that time.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Just about everybody. Grossed $245 million worldwide on a $3 million budget.
Damn straight.
Not bad. Turned Hugh Grant into a household name worldwide. Launched his career. This was nominated for Best Picture in 1994. Lost to Forrest Gump. This is a rare rom-com that was nominated for Best Picture. You don't see that very often.
Forrest Gump is a rom-com.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like you have a main character who doesn't exactly know what love is. So it's a little bit debatable.
It's where the song I Want to Know What Love Is comes from.
Exactly. I'll describe the plot in real basic detail again, boil it down to a couple sentences. You got a group of 20 and 30-something-year-old British friends who find themselves to be groomsmen, bridesmaids, maid of honors, best men over and over and over, and they're wondering when it's going to be their turn to get married, is the basic plot of the movie. Yeah, the plot is built around Hugh Grant as basically the core member. He's the main guy of the group. And he has an on-again, off-again fling with a mysterious American woman played by Andie MacDowell. Fate keeps bringing them together, pulling them apart. And the big crux is like, will they end up together in the end? Will the fate allow them to be together? So that is your basic plot. I'm curious to see what our thoughts are. We'll start with Sean Jordan.
I liked this movie. I thought it was cute.
Yeah.
Definitely a cheap budget. Now, question. Of the movies we've watched for this series, were these the most expensive weddings that we've seen, or was the wedding in My Best Friend's Wedding more expensive?
I think My Best Friend's Wedding is probably going to be the most expensive we've seen so far.
Yeah, I agree. I think that one was number one, and then these were number two. One was in a castle.
Yeah.
There was a wedding in a castle, which was probably the coolest wedding.
That was
cool. Like, if I get a chance to go to, like, a Scottish wedding, like a true, like, get to wear a kilt
I just
in a
wear
castle.
A kilt and, you know. Let my boys breathe.
Yeah. Have a wedding in the Highlands. That's amazing.
Marrying a lord?
Yeah.
For what? He was a lord?
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. No, I thought this movie was good. I thought it was fun little romp. There were definitely some problematic like elements to it, but 1994, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Weird that like the relationship. Okay, so let's go through the wedding. So first wedding is like where they first meet. It's like one of his good friends. He's the best man.
Loses the ring.
Second wedding, his friend was the maid of honor. And third wedding was his love interest's wedding.
Yeah.
Right?
In Scotland, yeah.
In Scotland. Then we have a funeral because one of their friend dies of a
heart attack.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Anyway, he was a partier.
Yeah.
Right. And then fourth wedding was his own, Hugh Grant's own wedding that he calls off at the end because, what's her name? Carrie?
True love.
Carrie.
Yeah.
Annie McDowell.
So I think just like going through it, like the time between her wedding and his wedding was like 10 months, right? I think that was the time gap. And that was enough time for her to break up with her husband.
Yeah.
Like that is a short, who's a lord again.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, she divorced a lord in 10 months.
Yeah.
To come to his wedding and basically like make him call it off so that they can be together.
How to lose a lord in 10 months.
That's a movie I'd watch. I want to see what happened in those 10 months. I want to see what happened in their relationship. But she had a very like open attitude toward just
life.
If we're not married, like, you know, anything goes. It's not cheating if you're not married.
I thought he was going to be 36, you know, or 37.
Yeah.
I'm
37?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I will say that did irk my wife, you know, to see Andie MacDowell, her character, cheating on her fiancé right before the wedding with Hugh Grant.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, very problematic at times, but, you know, they found a way to make it cute. If you look really closely at it, you can nitpick it, but you know, it's a rom-com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
At the end of the day, like,
you can't scrutinize them too much.
You can't scrutinize this kind of movie.
It's a fine line between like My Best Friend's Wedding and hating Julia Roberts' character.
Yeah.
And despising the movie. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing is like, I think the more wedding movies we watch, the more I realize that a lot of the behavior and like a lot of wedding movies is really toxic and problematic. And this one's no exception. But if you ignore that, it was a cute movie.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Travi?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Tay. I wasn't paying attention. Actually, I really like this as well. Sean and I held hands today and went and got pedicures, and we got to gab about this movie a little bit. I really enjoyed it. I've seen Notting Hill before this movie. Which seems
is that not
a little bit of a furry precursor? Rom-com? What, Notting Hill?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe
it's the same people that made that one.
It's kind of the same formula in that it's mostly you know, British actors, and then they have one American actress, you know, Julia Roberts in Notting Hill, and then Annie MacDowell in this. But it's I saw a lot of some of the same actors in both films. But what I was telling Sean is that I kind of wish that we had only ever seen the four weddings and a funeral, like that each one had been like its own one act play.
Yes.
Because I didn't like the fact, well, I mean, the whole movie was great. I really enjoyed it. I had never seen the entire thing. I loved it. But just the parts where he saw Annie McDowell outside of one of the weddings, and then he like took her to go out for coffee, and then to meet
dress shopping,
and then to meet his brother, and then run after him like, "Oh my God, I really love you!" Like, I wish they had consolidated some of that, or it had happened at one of the weddings or something. Like, I don't know. It at the end, I just like the idea of everything happening, of you only getting to see snapshots of these people at these events. And you would have to get filled in, or like, why are these people not talking to each other? Or what's the deal?
I think if you only exist in the scope of a wedding or a funeral, like those interactions those aren't like real interactions. I mean, we've all been at weddings that we've gotten like carried away with like the magic of a wedding, and you know, what happens that night, like whatever. You know, if you have to see them like be rational outside of that wedding space to, I don't know, move the plot forward, or see them like it's not just a fling, like it is, they have emotional attachment outside of the context of a wedding.
Yeah.
I just like the idea, like I think it could be a really good play, and it just doesn't, in my mind, if you've ever seen the movie Noises Off, that's with Michael Caine, and they run through the same play, but every time you see it, it's different, and you're like, oh my gosh, these two actors in the play are dating each other this time, and they're having some fight or something, and every time you see it, you have to like kind of catch up a little bit, like, oh shit, life has happened outside of it. Like, I don't know. Again, it's no fault of this movie. I loved it. That was just one note I had. I'm like, I kind of wish it they would have gone for. Also, Hugh Grant at this age looks a shit ton like Christopher Reeve to me.
Those teeth.
Mm-hmm. Those and the glasses. Vibes.
The teeth.
It's the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think this movie actually knows how glasses work. He takes them off and puts them on and takes them off with no respect to like what he's doing. It's not like he puts them on to read something or takes them off to see something far away. He just does it indiscriminately.
Yeah.
How glasses work.
I know a lot of people who have to wear glasses, they'd walk into walls if they took their glasses off like that. They would be like wandering in traffic.
No, I mean, I wear glasses. I can't see shit.
Yeah. One thing I would point out, for the record, Noises Off was a Neil Simon, I think, production. And Neil Simon did that?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's like that would explain why that has such a theatrical feel to it. It's because Neil Simon's, from Broadway, like theater writer. So that makes sense why he would give that such a self-contained, theatrical feel. One thing I noticed about the scene you're talking about where Hugh Grant, like, is with his brother and he runs off to go catch Annie McDowell. Joe and I were watching that. My wife, we were talking about how it's like he is dressed in a Walk of Shame garb.
Oh yeah,
in that scene,
that like Hawaiian, what like a Hawaiian shirt.
She was
of?
Like, "What the fuck is he wearing?"
Yeah,
she was like, "You're never allowed to leave the house." Like he was wearing like brown like loafers and like gym shorts and like a button up Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, can I just say that I would wear the shit out of that? I noticed that and I was just like he looks scruffy, but he looks comfy.
I feel like that style's back in.
It's like he looks like he was caught like with somebody else's wife and had to just throw on whatever's around and run out of the house.
Yeah.
And it's like that's what he's wearing.
I feel like that's what kids these days are wearing.
Probably so. Yeah.
Kids these days.
I just damn kids don't understand these times. I mean, again, 1994 was 28 years ago.
God damn.
That feels like that was like 6 years ago. Okay, so
Taylor,
your thoughts?
I wouldn't say I loved it. I liked it. I thought the same thing Travis did. It was like I really wish, not to like make it feel like it was like a Pulp Fiction, but I wish it would have been like four different stories. You know, it's like the, weddings, the funeral, have its, but it does make sense that you have to have that outside realm.
Yeah.
I feel like the first part of the movie, I was like, this needs, and again, maybe I've just been in a bad mood recently. I don't know. I was like, man, even like when they're about to start humping, they're just still talking. I'm like, fast forward this fucking scene. It was like, I don't want to fast forward because I want to hear the dialogue, but I was like, what is happening right now? And then, she's like, oh, I'm leaving, or when are we going to announce our engagement? It was kind of funny. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
But I liked the movie because it was a rom-com, and I did think for 1994, it was like, that was kind of cool. I didn't, it was the scene where they're like, talking about like, oh, how many people have you slept with? And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I was like, what's happening here? Like,
it, 37
it, it caught yeah. me off guard, and I was like, she was just plus. Nonchalantly going through it, and I was like, okay.
Kids, it's called your body number these days, if you're following along.
I thought it was called your head count.
Your Scully count.
Ooh. That's a different number.
Yeah.
Incidentally, this came out the same year as Clerks, so you had that same like idea. Of, like,
So this is when this launched Hugh Jackman's career.
Mm-hmm. Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant.
That'd be cool.
When did he then go hang out with the prostitute? Like 2 years later?
2 years later.
I think
later.
In 98.
So I mean,
was it 95?
So yes, like so he really took that stardom and was like, I'm going ham.
Which then launched Jay Leno's career as a late night guy
because he
scored the first interview with Hugh Grant.
No. Huh.
So it's like you're dating Liz Hurley and this is what you're doing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Now tell me Hugh Grant.
Yeah.
That was my Jay Leno.
He was getting and that was good.
Any part in the storm?
Yeah. Well, it was like, you know, at that point, Jay Leno's getting killed in the ratings. Talking about like replacing him as the Tonight Show host. He scores Hugh Grant. First question he asked him was like, what were you thinking?
That's
the first big, it was almost like a big like scoop that he got Hugh Grant to be on there. Around the time of 9 months, did you guys ever see that movie? With Julianne Moore.
No. That was terrible.
Yes.
Oh, wait, that's not Twins with. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's a fucking masterpiece.
That's a banger. Like, that is a banger.
Yeah. Guys, this has nothing to do with absolutely anything, but like, if I can back up like just a minute, 30 seconds. If Jay Leno's chin was made of cake, how many bites is that for you?
Two full bites?
I think that's two full bites
of cake.
Yeah,
that's a big bite for cake.
I could go Bill Murray and Groundhog Day with cake. I just want to say that, so I'm just take that into account. I could eat the whole piece of cake.
Two bites of Jay Leno cake.
I'm saying four bites.
Yeah.
Yeah, four. Thank you for being reasonable, Todd over here.
I just don't have a good grasp on cake to chin ratios.
Yeah.
Taylor, you watch Cake Boss. Bullshit, Walter.
No, I watch Cake Farts.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like, get it together, man.
Actually, I'd watch that.
Yeah.
No.
Cake Farts.
All right. I guess continue. But yeah, four is the correct answer.
TLDR.
Hugh Grant stutters a lot in this movie.
He does a lot of stutters. That's his shtick.
Yeah.
And I told Joe watching this,
thick in this.
It's amazing that he can pull off being kind of the wallflowery shy guy when supposedly he has a reputation as just a dick behind the scenes.
Is good for him.
Was he kind of doing the like Woody Allen?
Actually, now that you mentioned Christopher Reeve, he's kind of doing a Clark Kent kind of a thing.
Kind of.
No. You know, he's kind of like a...
Bumbling.
Yeah, insecure, like mumbling, yeah.
It's great hair, though.
When he was... when they went to the funeral, like, you know, his bestie had just declared her love for him.
Yeah.
At one point, she was like...
Yeah, that storyline just goes away.
Mm-hmm. I'm bringing it up is at the funeral, I thought... He was like, oh, my darling, or whatever her name is, and gave her a kiss. I was like, oh, shit, did they somehow, like, are they a couple now?
Yeah.
And that was when I first was like, oh, shit, am I catching up at each time? Am I having to be like, oh, shit, they're like, he went ahead and they became a thing?
Yeah.
And are we going to see the last wedding where it's like, is he going to maybe be marrying her or is she going to be another ex or something? But I think that's where I initially got the idea. I'm like, man, I wish each one had been its own.
She was a Stone Cold Fox, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kristen Scott Thomas. That was kind of her heyday. She was in this movie, English Patient, Mission Impossible. She was in quite a few stuff around this time.
She
was in a lot of Mission Impossibles, wasn't she?
She dies in the first one.
Yeah. She? Oh, okay.
She was in another spy thing on Apple TV with Gary Oldman. I just watched
it.
I can't remember the name.
Slow Horses.
Yeah, I actually really liked it.
I've just started that. I'm on episode 3.
All right. I enjoy it.
So, number ratings. What would you guys say, Trav? I have to edit all of that sound out.
7.5 out of 10.
Okay.
Thought it was, I enjoyed it. It had hints and echoes of Notting Hill, and I was like, oh. And for some reason, I don't know why, the groom in the second wedding, like, Peter Haig, Daniel Haig, whatever, the dude with the juicy, delicious mustache that was like,
yes,
the one who hooks up with the bridesmaid, the bride, in the first wedding.
One, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, I really like that actor. I don't remember what else I've seen him in, but I'm like, fuck yes, I forgot he was in that, or I didn't know he was in this.
Yeah,
he that mustache, it just made me feel like he should have been in one of the Diehards. It was like 80s kind of just like cop, drug dealer, or something. Mm-hmm. It was like, man, he had to be in something.
I looked up his name, and his last name is Haig, H-A-I-G, but I can't remember the. But I've seen him in other things, and I'm like, yeah, I love this fucking actor.
Yeah,
that's it.
Tay.
Yeah, 6.5. That's what I'm going with.
Yeah.
Respectable.
Sean.
That's fair. I had it at 6.5. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's charming, but like, yeah.
Yeah. So here are my thoughts. So I have down this. It's a good movie. I think it's a little bit overrated for the acclaim that it got at the time.
Oh, yes.
I think Hugh Grant and Annie McDowell are a little bit weird. They fall a bit flat as a couple. I wasn't a big fan of her performance in this movie. I thought it was a little bit weird, a little bit off. You know, because it's like that to me, that role seems like it was written to be very like lively, bubbly. Like she was supposed to be like this really flirty, fun American.
A one in a million character.
And to
she
me,
she was just a hoe bag. I mean, that's what it was.
And to me, Andy McDowell played her a little bit flat.
Yeah. But maybe, you know, that is what appeals to British people.
Maybe so.
That is like bubbly and wild for the British. Is like a very flat American.
That could be a cultural difference.
Sure.
Because it's like, you know, Annie McDowell is like, she in real life is a very charming actor. Like she's Southern, you know, she's very outgoing and bubbly. She is what this part is.
Should have been.
Yes. You know, it's like you get the feeling this was written specifically for her, even though they cast a Tulsa native where we were recording from, Jean Triplehorn. She was the first choice to play Andy McDowell's
Waterworld.
Yes. Yeah, she is, I believe, an Edison graduate where you guys are from.
She babysat for my girlfriend, I think. Her niece babysat. I don't know. There's some connection there.
Yeah.
You could see her bottom in Waterworld.
Was it a
what was that? What was that movie?
Was it a stunt bottom?
Bottom in Waterworld.
Was it a stunt bottom though?
Stunt butt?
Stunt butt.
Was it a stunt butt?
I think it was the real butt. So she was cast in the original part.
That's only two of the three horns.
You can see Philip Seymour Hoffman's nuts in Twister. Outtake of Twister.
Yeah.
I thought it was in the movie.
It was in the theatrical cut. They edited it for VHS.
Well, so Todd says, we still haven't seen it.
I know.
If you guys can help Todd with Philip Seymour Hoffman's
If you
nuts,
can show Todd Philip Seymour Hoffman's testicles.
Yeah, I will mail you a check for $25.
I like that.
Actually, I'll throw in $5.
Yeah, you will get $30 if you can show me Philip Seymour Hoffman's balls and Twister. Because, yeah, I've heard that. Again, if you haven't, if you're just joining us in CinemaVino, we've been talking about this for a while now.
If you have the theatrical cut... On reel.
On Twister.
On 35
Taylor, put
millimeter.
Down your phone. Quit looking.
You can't find it. It's impossible.
There is a shot.
I'm going on the dark web.
Are you using Bing or DuckDuckGo?
Ask Jeeves. I'm asking Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves?
I'm asking Jeeves.
I heard ask Jeeves. That's okay.
I heard ask Jeeves.
It's like, where has this website been all my life? Supposedly, theatrical cut of Twister, Philip Seymour Hoffman sits in a like lawn chair and crosses his legs, and you can see up Broadway.
One day,
Todd, let it go
for your like 50th birthday. We're gonna buy you like the actual like film copy of a theatrical release.
Just a painting.
Just a painting of his testicles.
This is a watercolor of Philip Seymour Hoffman hanging brain,
falling backwards in a folding chair.
Happy birthday.
That's the only day we're gonna see you cry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be one solitary tear down my cheek, or tear down my teak.
Cheer down my teak.
Jame Duty Dench. So, I thought the best parts of this movie were kind of on its periphery. I liked the actors John Hannah and Simon Callow as the gay couple, who ironically were the couple that all of the straight couples longed to be. Like they were the idealized couple. Mm. You know, even Hugh Grant says that at one point, like, there are two of us in this group that were basically married, even though it wasn't legal then to be married. It's like they were de facto married.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I was like, at the very beginning, I'm like, oh, they're a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, are they not a couple? Are they just roommates? Like, oh, they were a couple. All
yeah.
right, cool.
Yeah.
I was right.
They were roommates in like the wink, wink, like mm-hmm. they were roommates.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, they were opposite characters who kind of completed each other personality wise. And a lot of times those can be some of the best couples where it's like you have cleared, like, you know, completely different personalities.
He looked good in a kilt.
He did.
Yeah.
No, hell, they both did. So yeah, Simon Callow, the older guy who, you know, spoiler alert, he died. First time I saw him was in high school in speech and debate class where they showed him teaching an acting class on VHS. He's like a famous acting teacher in England. Ah. So
I think, we saw him in Phantom of the Opera, the movie version, but I've seen him in other stuff.
Yeah, he looked familiar. I just couldn't, yeah.
Just blanket statement.
He was in Hawkeye, the new Hawkeye. He was the old uncle that got killed.
That's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. If it's my wedding, and mm-hmm. I'm giving a speech and someone has a heart attack, like, in the background, stop my fucking speech.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't drag him to another room and, like, we'll address this, like, quietly.
Make me look like a dilettante. Like, something going on back there. Someone too much to drink, eh? Oh, all right. make me look an asshole. Exactly. It's like, you know, wave me off.
But again, if you're going to die of a heart attack, like, do it in a kilt so your balls are...
Yes.
Goddamn right.
That's... Yeah. And then that way people can look it up on the internet.
Also, like, don't they say you, like, mess yourself as well? If you're, like, you know...
It can happen.
It can happen.
Undies and just...
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it's like...
Die in a kilt, it's, you know.
It's like,
or do.
If that happens to me, you guys need to get on Ask Jeeves and kind of clear that out.
Ask Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves, help.
Ass cheeks and kilts. Got it.
So, yeah, I enjoyed Kristen Scott Thomas, like you were saying, as Grant's, like, you know, unrequited love.
God.
Wow. And Charlotte Coleman, the wacky, like, foul-mouthed, chain-smoking, punk rock, Cyndi Lauper roommate.
Yeah.
She was kind
of
fun.
I liked her.
She reminded me exactly of Notting Hill with his, like, crazy sister that gets with old, what's his, John, no, Reese Ephens at the end, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what this film reminded me of.
Yeah, same writer. Mm-hmm. Also, I liked Rowan Atkinson as
the bumbling preacher.
Yeah, the kind of flummoxed, nervous priest who can't get through his speech.
I thought Kristen Scott was going to bang him. I thought she was going to convert him.
Yeah. Oh, good Lord. It's like, you know, there's far more goals. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff. I liked all that. I liked all the stuff around Andy McNeil and Hugh Grant more so than I liked.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like the peripheral characters are all really charming, mm-hmm. but like the main characters kind of suck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hugh Grant, I mean, it's Hugh Grant's shtick, though. It's like he's very hemming and hawing and, like, you know, you know, kind of mumbling and nervous. And yeah.
I wanted to see the party at the 120 room castle.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, but that would blow out the budget.
I know.
Yes, apparently.
Yeah. I'd say 7 out of 10. That was my rating. That's about where I am.
So we're all kind of right kinda in the same area.
I like the dumb guy that liked to bang his third cousin.
Yeah.
Yes. I liked the random super rich dumb guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, that line he says pops up in my head every now and then. We're like, you know, Thunderbolt City. I don't know why I think of that every now and then. Like, that just kind of, you know, I just like his, like, weird, like, accent. Like, I don't know what exact British accent that is, but.
And every time he gets insulted, he's like, quite right.
I'm quite right. Yeah, I liked it. I mean, it's a fun date movie, like you say.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's been another episode of Cinema Vino. We're drinking Gerard Bertrand Cremant Brut Rosé. And talking about Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Gerard Bertrand, Jean-Luc, Australia.
Exactly. Next up, we're going to talk about Palm Springs, which I enjoyed quite a bit. But yeah, we got Sean Jordan.
Hey.
Taylor Owens.
Yo.
And Travis Budd.
Yo.
Bravis Tud. And yeah, we will see you guys next time. If you're interested in starting your very own podcast, Blueberry is one of the top hosting companies in the world. You can get your first month free with Blueberry by using the promo code CINEMAVINO. You can also use the hosting estimator on their site to determine the best plan for you. And don't forget, that's CINEMAVINO to get your first month free.
Be sure to listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our website is cinemavino.net, and reviews of these films can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com.
Oh.